The reading's taken from Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2, and then from 19 to the end. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through whom the righteous may enter. I will give thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession, up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple area and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple area, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what those children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise?" And he left them and went out of the city of Bethany, where he spent the night. Thanks be to God.
Thanks very much, Sylvia. Morning, everybody. Great to gather on this Palm Sunday. thought I'd start telling you a story from my first church job when I was a curate, like we had Marcus here. I was over at St. Michael's in Boldmere, Sutton Coalfield, and I was being trained and I got a chance to do more and more. And I'd done a funeral at Perry Bar, and for some reason I'd taken the lift with the funeral director because it just takes the pressure off. You're not driving, you're not trying to find where to go. And so the service had gone well, and I got back into the hearse, and obviously the funeral director was pleased with how it's gone. And I remember it clearly. They just sort of, we chatted a bit, and then she leaned over and she said, "If you ever need a donkey, let me know." Now, I have walked the streets of Kathmandu and been offered hashish, and it was a little bit like that. I said no to the hashish, I said yes to the donkey. And she put me in touch with these people, and my training incumbent said yes, but they're not coming in the church because it's carpeted. Fine, we can be in the graveyard. And we made this route, got in touch with the police about shutting the road. They said, no, it's all right, but we'll come and whatever. And I was so excited, you know me and donkeys. Hardly slept. Got to church early, really excited. We'd had a message church thing the day before. We'd all made palms and chatted to the person that was driving this big truck and opened the back door. Two donkeys. And I honestly panicked. I was like, how can we have two? It was a donkey. And then, of course, I was wrong, because in Scripture, Jesus is sent to find a donkey and her colt. And do you know what? Donkeys prefer to be with another donkey. There was more likelihood that the donkey would walk along the procession if there was another donkey. Isn't being alongside someone else a joy? And don't we have the amazing opportunity to be alongside and be with King Jesus? Let's pray. King Jesus, ride into this place now. Be our coming King. Help us to see more of who you are. And Lord, help us to examine the throne of our lives and to bravely ask, where are you sitting? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning I don't want to focus on the verse that says you will find a donkey and her colt. I want to focus on verse 10. In verse 10 we hear this. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" Who is this? And it's not the only time in the Gospels we see this question being asked. As Jesus, who is God, walked the earth and did what he did, people were curious. People were, who is this? Even the closest ones to him, even the disciples, they were one time in a boat with him, the storm came up, he stands up and quiets the storm, and they say, who is this man? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And here, on the final week of his life, he enters Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people of that city ask, who is this? And if you look closely in the Gospels, throughout his life on earth, Jesus is continually showing who he is by what he does. He's continually telling who he is by the words he uses. And we pray today that he will reveal more of who he is to each of us. We're pausing on this Palm Sunday. Who is he? That we might clearly see that he is the coming King. And to start looking at who he is and who he shows himself to be, we need to look at the context of this entry into Jerusalem. And for that, it's useful just to cast our eyes to the bit of the Bible immediately before today's reading. If we look in the end of Matthew 20, we find the account where Jesus heals two blind men. They are there on the street, and they hear that Jesus was going by. And they shout out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." And Jesus stops and he says to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he goes on to restore their sight. All the people around those blind men knew that the Son of David referred to the messianic king that they were waiting for. They call out, "Son of David." And Jesus says, "Yes." Here, before the triumphal entry, Jesus shows clearly to a lot of gathered people who he is. He is out there and outright saying, "I am the messianic king." And you know, that was hugely dangerous. To claim to be the awaited for Messiah king. Because now he either has to triumph as king or he'll be crushed by the authorities. By making this claim, it really now is do or die. So this isn't just some nice procession with the donkey and some palm leaves. This is a critical moment. Because he responds to the men calling Son of David, there's a real tension that's built up here. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and he has declared himself to be king. He's heading to the place where the authorities are seated, but he's claiming he is the one with all authority. So, what do we see? Well, we see Jesus making all the necessary arrangements. He sends those two disciples to the village to get the donkey and its colt, telling them exactly what's required, telling them even what to say if anyone stops them. And then look at this in verse 4. All those arrangements, it says this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. So then we get this prophecy from Zechariah 9. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Who is this? This is the one who fulfills the Old Testament prophecies. The prophets repeatedly stated how God would send the rescuer, the Messiah, the king, and Jesus fulfills all those prophecies. "See, your king comes to you." Who is this? He's the messianic king, the son of David. He's the fulfiller of prophecies, and he's the coming king. And he's also God. Thank you, Sylvia, for bringing our reading today, and thank you for receiving the message in the middle of the week. The preacher wants you to read more. I asked that the reading be extended through to verse 17, so that we saw Jesus in Jerusalem and what he does. He goes to the temple and he overturns the tables of the money changers. And when he does that, he quotes from Jeremiah. Jesus says, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." He's in the temple. The temple is God's house. And Jesus chooses to use the words, "my house," thus showing that he is God. And he even rearranges the furniture a way that only the owner can do. So we're seeing clearly that Jesus is God, the prophesied and awaited for Messiah, the coming king. We see that he's that, but I want to re-emphasize again, he is declaring that of himself by responding to Son of David and saying, yes, he's declared himself as king and he's about to enter Jerusalem. I re-emphasize it because that's the tension thing. That's the declared king going into the place of the authorities. It is do or die. And what we see in this passage is that Jesus has orchestrated everything. And I'll be really honest with you, I'd never seen this before. I've enjoyed many a Palm Sunday, whether it be with a donkey or not with a real donkey. And I've always loved it. And I know Jesus is in control, but I think I just read it as if it went one bit to the other. Like, he's setting his face to Jerusalem. He sends them to get a donkey. A crowd appear. There's palms, there's coats, there's hosannas shouted. And he heads into Jerusalem. I love it when I grasp or see what for me are new things. Jesus had orchestrated it all. And to emphasize that and to see it, look where it starts, look where they are. In our first verse today, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Now, Bethphage was a village next door to the village of Bethany. Bethany is the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The village that had seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, the passage Jude so helpfully took us through last week. The crowds who lined the street were from Bethphage and Bethany. And there was no other crowd that knew the power of Jesus like these people. You know, people have talked about this passage and a bit of a debate. You know, had Jesus arranged with the owner of the donkey that he could have it? You know, there's no arrangement made. Jesus expects the disciples just to walk on in and grab a donkey and its colt because of who he is and who they've seen and heard him to be. Jesus is really clear about it. He says, let them know. Let them know that the Lord needs it. I need it. I'm going to be riding it. Can you imagine the buzz around Bethphage and Bethany? He's here again. He's asked for a donkey. He's going to ride it. He must be going into Jerusalem. This crowd is not from Jerusalem. This crowd is from outside Jerusalem. If you've ever wondered, how was there suddenly such a big crowd? It's because he's sent to Bethphage near Bethany. He's not just sent for a donkey. He's sent out for a crowd. Jesus is in control of it all. Jesus orchestrated every detail of the triumphal entry because he's making this clear statement of who he is. He's entering Jerusalem, confronting the leaders with his claim of kingship. Now, let's imagine for a moment what it might have been like for the disciples. They're his closest friends. They've been learning from him. They've been with him for 3 years, and they've seen it all. They've seen those miracles. They've seen his power. And as you read the Gospels, we pick up, they're keen for him to take his authority, to overthrow the Romans. But Jesus has always responded to them with comments about his suffering. But the disciples must have been thinking, this is it, now, finally. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to show his power. And then his choice of steed is a donkey. A donkey is not the steed of a king. It's the steed of a servant. The disciples may well have been thinking, yes, finally. And then he chooses a donkey. But it shows us again, who is this? Jesus is the servant. This is the mode of transport of a servant. And the servant is now going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. This is Jesus the servant, who goes on to stoop and wash the disciples' feet, which we'll focus on Thursday evening. Who is this? He is the absolute servant who makes the ultimate act of service by dying on a cross for you and me. Jesus is the servant king. And you know, with him riding in a donkey, with him showing himself to be a servant, he encapsulates the gospel. So if this is helpful for you, stay with me. It encapsulates the beautiful truth of Jesus paying the price for my sin. You see, sin can be seen and is where a servant puts themselves in the place of a king. That's lots of my sins. I'm the servant, but I want to be king of my own life. I want to do it my way, easily shoving the king off the throne. That's sin, where the servant puts themselves in the place of the king. Whereas salvation is the king putting himself in the place of the servant. It says in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. For the stuff that I get wrong, because he's a holy God, I deserve the penalty of death. But we know that Jesus dies in our place, pays our price, sorts out our debts. By riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, Jesus is saying, I am the king, but not a king like you think. Not yet, thanks. He comes on a donkey, not on a big white horse. He's not coming to free them from the Romans, because that won't bring true freedom. It won't bring freedom from guilt and shame and sin. He comes to bring true and complete liberation, the freedom we all need, the fullness of life in him. The Christian gospel is that we're saved through perceived weakness. Jesus is the suffering servant who saves us through the cross. I started by focusing on verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And we've looked at that very question. Who is this? Seeing him to be the messianic king, the coming king, the fulfiller of prophecies, God and the servant. This is really him. He really is who he claimed to be. But looking at the first part of that verse, we read, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred. The reason they were stirred is because of all those answers to who he is. I've tried to build up this picture that this just isn't a pretty procession. Jesus does not slip into Jerusalem. The whole passage is referred to as the triumphal entry. He enters not just knowing who he is, but showing very clearly who he is. And that's very upsetting to those in authority in Jerusalem. He goes into Jerusalem claiming that he is the absolute king. And what I'm now going to say is quite stark, because Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was stark. As Jesus enters the city, as Jesus enters any place, he's saying, crown me or kill me. Crown him or kill him. And as we look at the week ahead, we know which of those happened. And the coming King Jesus comes to each of us. Please note, he comes gentle and humble, but he does come saying, crown me or kill me. And I believe that just as the city was stirred, Jesus is wanting to stir us today, to stir me again. The invitation from humble Jesus is, make me king or make me nothing. He comes to us that way intellectually to work it out in our head, but he also comes that way to our hearts. What's your deep response to me? He's saying, yeah, you can dismiss me. You can despise me. You can think I'm mad. Or You can throw over everything and serve me completely. But you know what? There's nothing in between. There's not, church is nice, they're a good bunch of people. It's only an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. There is nothing in between. In the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, where John is given a vision of heaven, we see in the first chapters letters to seven churches. The letter to the church at Laodicea includes this. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus says you can be hot or cold, but you can't be lukewarm. I like my coffee hot or iced. I don't like it lukewarm. This is far more important than a cup of coffee. We can be completely submitted to him, or we can reject him completely, but there's nothing in between. See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. It's a stark question, but he comes to us as Jesus, beautiful, wonderful Jesus, gentle and humble and a servant, because what he's got to offer us is everything. He's the coming king. Crown him or kill him. And you know what? There's no better time than today, no better time than Easter to make your decision about who is Jesus, to say, thank you for dying for me, and yes, I'm going to put you king of my life. I'm going to crown you. And there are many here who have said, be my king, to Jesus recently or years ago. But as this wonderful king comes to us again today, I want to be open to say, I'm sorry, Jesus. There are bits of my life where I haven't let you be king. I wanted to do it my way. I've bumped you off that throne and sat on it myself, and I'm sorry. And I want you to be king of every part of my life, because I know that's the best way to live. And Lord, I can't do it without your Holy Spirit. Maybe you will make your own consideration as the king rides in again to our worship, to our lives, to our homes. We can say, Jesus, I crown you. Because when he's exalted, everything falls into place. Doesn't mean everything will be fine, but it does mean he's with us. There were two donkeys on the back of that lorry. We don't have a live donkey today, but what we have is the opportunity to walk our lives with King Jesus next to us. How wonderful is that? Amen.